Welcome to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Specht.
Hello.
Derek, it is almost the end of April already.
I know.
Ta-da! Good times. Paddling season is upon us.
The months go so fast. Like, I remember as a kid, it was like, oh, this is so, everything takes so much time. And now it's just like you blink and it's like, damn it.
Well, because when you were a kid, you were in school.
That's true.
And you sat there.
The days would drag on.
Summer vacation is 6 years away. Not projects due and tests due. And, now you just sit at work going, when's summer vacation?
I know, right?
It's 6 years away.
Well, I remember as we slowly strolled towards the year 2000, and everybody's all freaking out, yada yada yada. And now I think, oh, that was 24 years ago.
What were you doing for Y2K?
I was in
suspended animation.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah,
I was in the military that year. Yeah. I was in the military. I was still in the Navy out west on board
ships.
In
the Navy out west?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a long time
ago. To me, out west is the prairies. Derek was in the Prairie Navy.
Much further west than that.
Through the seas of wheat, Derek in his boat.
I had to think about that. It's like, because, yeah, I left the military in the fall of 2000.
Yeah, I was still working. I went through that whole Y2K computer thing and having to make sure our company was, my section of the company was all compliant, Y2K compliant, and all our clients were still compatible, and a big day came where it switched over and nothing happened. We were still here.
It was a big nothing.
Yeah. That's just because we,
but I, because we people prepared for it. There's all, everybody did their homework.
Yeah.
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 And you got to wonder about the people, not that I want to just get too sidetracked, but you got to wonder, like, when you know, you think of computer people as fairly smart people, you like to think of them as fairly smart people, and what, they didn't occur to them that eventually we're all going to hit the year 2000?
No.
Right?
No. 1999, that's the end of civilization as we know it.
Computers don't go that high.
They don't go that high. They figured, probably they just would have figured out something before
we'll
then.
We'll figure it out on the way.
Yeah, we'll wing it. We'll wing it, said Bill Gates and Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
1999, that's so far away.
Yeah. Imagine how much money we'll make during the panic.
Right? Oh, be awesome. Just be like Godzilla attacking the city because everybody panicked and riots and looting.
Yeah.
And
Oh,
it'll be great. Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
It's amazing. Like, it's...
But yeah, 24 years ago, eh?
Yikes.
Time flies when you're having fun. Yeah. And now, many, many lifetimes later, it's awesome now.
I'm just rolling through my head all the vacations and all the trips I've done. And I didn't really get into canoeing and kayaking. And, like, I did some kayaking out west when I was on Vancouver Island. But I didn't really get that deep into it because it was just too busy. And I didn't really do canoeing, and like as a kid,
well,
I did.
You were on
canoeing.
A big boat anyway.
Yeah, yeah. But I was thinking, I really, once I got to, I think what it was is like when you're out west, there's so much to do.
Yeah,
it's like it's everything is interesting, and you get here to Ontario, it's like I was very disappointed when I moved here. It's like everybody's got a cottage, they pick up their pack of smokes and their case of beer and go to the cars
for the weekend.
Yeah. It's like, well, that's not, I don't like that.
Yeah. Were you, what kind of ship were you on?
I was on
a frigate, a battleship, an aircraft carrier.
We haven't had an aircraft carrier since late 70s, mid 70s.
Because you sank it.
No. Yeah, we had a few of them coming out of World War II. Bonaventure was built after World War II. There's a few, we had a few of them.
I know ships.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could have said, yes, I was commander of the aircraft carrier Wajamobuhu, and I would have to believe you because I wouldn't know.
I went through, I was in the military for 10 years, and I saw some changes. Like, we went from steamships to tribal class ships with missile guided ships, and then we went to city class ships, which was the ones that we're using now. And right now they're building or start going to be starting to build new ones again.
Hmm.
Yeah. Ships don't last that long. Saltwater's not friendly.
What do they do with the old ships? Can you like buy one secondhand?
There's a few. Like there's I know a few people who were involved in purchases of old wooden minesweepers and stuff from World War II. And you know,
no, I want something more from like the '80s.
You're not going to be able to buy one of those.
Why?
Because those are like, you know, 500 foot long ships.
So? What's your point?
So you see them taking them apart.
Will it not float in Lake Ontario?
You couldn't afford the paint.
Who says I'm going to paint it? Have you seen my old truck?
I guess you could run it aground and turn it into a hotel or something.
Oh, heck no. Just leave it. It's going to be the biggest on-the-water Tim Hortons drive-thru you've ever seen. You pull up in your boat right next to my battleship, and I'm out there handing out the coffees and the donuts. Oh, the fishermen are going to love me. Right? I'm going to make billions. It's just like owning a house and renting it out to somebody. Their rent covers your mortgage. Yeah. All those fishermen that are buying coffee and donuts all summer long, they're going to pay for my ship. That's my plan. That's my retirement plan.
It's a bad plan.
It is not. Not if I get some buddies in with me. How much you got? I got takers. I know I'll get takers. Anybody that's interested in buying a used battleship, hit me up. What plans you got for the summer so far? I know you got one plan already.
So, did we not discuss it last week?
No, we talked about your hiking plan in September.
Well, no, the last episode we talked about, because after Mike Burns listened to the episode, he says, hey, I think we're going to be paddling the same area.
Did you mention it?
I'm pretty sure I did.
I must have blacked out at that
point. Maybe. Because otherwise, how would Mike even know?
Maybe you told him.
No. I didn't say where we were going. I said I was going camping in May, and we talked about, because there was some confusion between first week and second week of May, because I'm starting on the 7th. And I said, no, second week, first week, second week. Third I remember week. That.
Okay.
Remember
that. Okay.
Anyways, so going in to Magnetowan, going to do Hambone, Daisy, Misty, and do some fishing and stuff like that.
And Mike's going to be through there.
He's doing a longer trip. His trip sounds a lot more fun than mine. I'm going with a bunch of old people that don't want to do a lot of paddling.
So why don't you just switch trips?
No, I've already committed to these guys.
You could like come down with like a cold all of a sudden.
Yeah. Sorry, I got a bad offer.
I feel cold.
But no, Mike's going to be doing a solo trip with Willow, and so I don't want to be imposing upon him.
Right? Impose.
He's going to do a long. I like his trip. He's going to be going in and doing a route that I've done before, and it's like it's a really nice area.
So is now the bad time to tell you that I'm going on a trip with Mike in May?
Well, he'll be passing through. I'll be on Misty on the Thursday that he passes through Misty heading back out. No, Friday.
Friday. Yeah, you don't even know your days yet.
So, no, I'm just trying to figure out which day he's doing his trip and my trip. Everybody's planning the same thing and getting back on Saturday, so we're all home for Mother's Day on Sunday.
Oh, Mother's Day's coming up, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Oh, so it's my daughter's birthday. It's on birthday, the 12th. My mom's birthday.
12th,
and
12th of May.
Yeah. Got to remember that. Put that in my calendar right now. Yeah. Oh, I am heading to Temagami over the May 2-4 weekend.
Oh, yeah, right on.
Yeah, supposed to be heading up there, and I was up there last year as well, but go up after work,
okay,
or leave work early, like noon or whatever on Friday, and come back the holiday Monday.
Okay.
So spend a couple of days up there anyway. And
nice.
Do some trout fishing. And
solo trip?
No. Alex Matthias' birthday.
Oh,
weekend.
Right on.
I say, hey, I get a phone call from somebody saying, are you going to come up? Let me find out what the schedule says, and we'll go from there. But yeah, that's here. I like this time of year, because this is when this is when the canoe trips and the kayak trips and all start to become more real.
Yes.
Right? Yep. This is when everybody cements their plans. Mm-hmm. You know, all winter, it's like, let's just pencil it in for here and see what happens
yes.
in the year and whatnot. And
I've seen a lot more postings and questions being posed in the last week and a half, 2 weeks than I have most of the winter. Mm-hmm. Everybody's trying to finalize, hey, what do you guys think of this trip? Can I do this? Is this possible? You know, it's like, yeah, you can do that. That seems reasonable.
People that have just picked up new boats.
Yes.
Hey, anybody know where we can go around here and what I should be wearing and what, you know, hey, is it still too cold to be out there and I got to sit on top kayak and I was going to go to the harbor.
Bad
Toronto
idea.
Toronto Harbor. No, you don't have the proper gear.
You have a dry suit?
You don't. And the number of people that are out there and without dry suits right now, paddling and going on trips and stuff.
Yeah, if you're going to be exposed to any big open water, then it's just, it's a bad time of year for that.
Yeah. Just to keep on that trail for a minute, the trips already. In May I've got one. I am looking at heading west, western states, as far out, a little bit out in the west area, not all the way to the other coast or anything, but on the U.S. side of the border.
Yeah.
If anybody has done the Moab Daily.
Oh.
I'd love to hear from you. Hmm. I got questions. but that's the Colorado River through the Colorado-Utah border.
Well, that sounds exciting.
Right? But we're looking at hitting a couple of rivers, like, hit the Mississippi for a day,
and
the Missouri for a day, and a couple of Ohio, check that one out. And
How many weeks are you going to be going?
18! that's the end of August.
Yeah?
Into September. And then October, I'm hoping to head south towards Georgia and Florida.
Oh, okay.
Hitting some stuff up down through Kentucky and Tennessee. Oh, I'm traveling this year, buddy. I figure it's going to be at least 700,000 kilometers by the end of the summer.
See, I can't do stuff like that. I've still got young kids.
You can do stuff like that.
No, I've already planned 3 vacations without the family.
No, that's why I say you take them with you. would love it.
Yeah. That's true.
And there's a chance you might lose one or two of them along the way. Bonus!
Because, it would have to be in August if I did that.
Yeah.
Because the kids are back in second week of September. They're back in school.
We went to New Mexico. Well, didn't you have 6 kids? You've only got 3. Yeah, we lost a couple.
We got spare room now. Yeah,
we could have lost all 6. Like I say, I've been looking at different spots there. I would love to get out and do a little bit of paddling on the Colorado and out through, Utah and Colorado and stuff like that. But
that sounds exciting.
There's something I've been looking at is the Moab Daily. There's a couple others in that area too, a couple other big rivers. But that one was like just the scenery and paddling through there.
It would be amazing.
It would look some really cool. So
doing solo or are you going with somebody else?
Oh, I'll be going with somebody else.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But you're not saying.
I can't tell you what her name is. Because she doesn't know. Now we're going to find out if she actually listens to the show. But what I did do already, I was out on the weekend. We went to the Nanquan River
The weekend. So is this officially 12 months you've paddled now?
So this was my April and final paddle.
So last year you paddled April?
May.
So now you've done 12 months.
I've done 12, paddled at least once.
Hashtag 12 months?
Every 12 months.
Yeah.
Or every once a month for 12 months.
Yeah. At least.
I've paddled more than once in
exactly. In some months in the summer, yeah.
A lot of them are actually on holidays, too.
Yeah.
Or right next to holidays because, work day or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I went paddling Sunday. Monday was Earth Day.
Oh, it was, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. I went paddling May 2-4,
mm-hmm.
July 1st weekend. I was out on National Canoe Day, a couple other ones I was out on. New Year's Eve, I was out up in Algonquin.
Oh, okay.
Right? Yep. That sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. The 29th of February, the leap year.
Oh, you made it. You were out on the 29th?
I was out on the 29th.
Right on.
So I won't be able to do that again for another 4 years.
Yeah.
So it's weird how things like that just sort of worked out that way.
And it was a mild winter. Otherwise, you're not going to go paddling if it's minus 30.
Well, I don't think I've ever seen open water in Algonquin Park on New Year's.
That's true, too.
until this year, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, hey, throw the canoe on just in case, and it really worked out, right?
Yeah.
So that is my 12 months. So really, really happy that I did that. I mean, you know what I get out of all that? Nothing but the satisfaction of saying I did it.
But there's no prize.
It's more for me than anything, right?
You get one little bar.
It's no competition, no contest. Mm-hmm. It's just more of a personal, hey, that's awesome.
Yeah, you can
pat
say
myself
you did it
on the back.
Because it's pretty unique to think about it. Like, unless you are, like, I know I've worked with people who have traveled to Mexico in the winter for paddling and stuff like that. But in Canada, like, it's very unusual to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Like, there's some people who go surfing in storms in the middle of winter and stuff like that. They have all the proper wetsuits on and stuff. But it's, you're not going to, in minus 30 degree weather, you're not going to kayak or canoe, right?
Well, you know what? Like I say, I bought that dry suit. So, I mean, that's, might as well use
that,
it.
That would open a lot of
doors.
That
really opens, really extends your season from, like 6 months to 12.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like I say, if you're down south, this means nothing to you, really.
Because,
we're in Florida. We paddle all year round.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, but up here, when we get hard water season, but it was a nice day for paddle weather-wise. Sunny with clouds, but a bit breezy. The Nanquan was flooded. I got told it was, it's going to be a nice windy river, not too much current, and nice easy day. Oh, no. The Nanquan was flooded. There was a good current going through. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I took my canoe, and like I said, it's my back's better.
Yeah.
But I just want to get a little bit stronger again before. I didn't just want to take the canoe and tweak it. Or the kayak and tweak it and be right back to where I was. Just one beaver dam, which was easy to get around. The rivers flooded around it.
Yeah.
So we just paddled around it. Coming back, I just got out and lifted over.
Yeah.
John with his kayak just paddled up the current.
Yeah.
Lots of Canada geese nesting where they can.
Yes.
You can see there's a lot of them. They're standing going like, I should be making my nest here, but there's a lot of water here.
Exactly.
It's not great
we've
for
had
that.
A lot in the last couple of weeks. We've had a lot of rain.
Yes. Blue jays, kingfishers are out already.
I saw
two swans flying over.
Oh, okay.
Right. And when we were out there paddling, there was two large birds of prey.
Oh, yeah?
I think they weren't ospreys.
Mm-hmm.
They looked bigger than a hawk. We didn't know if maybe they were like
turkey vultures or
no, anything? They weren't. They didn't have the neck and the head of a turkey vulture. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they were like eagles or something. Like, they weren't a full-grown bald eagle.
Yeah.
You'd know. They looked browny black. They were dark.
Yeah.
And they're up there, and you're looking, the sun's up there and all that. You just see these big black birds flying over. And so there were some sort of bird of prey anyway.
Yeah.
But a couple of really big ones. And
I've seen at work, we've got all our seagulls and our cormorants back.
Oh, we've seen seagulls. I haven't seen cormorants yet. Tons of pigeons.
Yeah, I've seen
we paddled under a couple of bridges, and there was tons of pigeons under them. During this 12 months, out of all of it in the winter and the cold water paddling, there's only two things I will change for next year when I'm paddling. So I got those Astrals that fit.
Yes.
Right? But they're, it's like pulling teeth trying to get those things on. So you got your socks on, you got a heavy pair of socks on, you got the booties for your, but I think they shrink a little bit when they dry.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to get your foot back in, even with the laces fully out. So I think I'm going to get a different pair, easier to put on, ones that maybe open wide, slide your foot in like boots or something, and then you just strap them instead. I've seen ones like that instead of ones with laces. I got to get a different pair of warmer, dry boots.
Problem is, though, is like I've never been in your kayak, but too big of a footwear. I know in my whitewater kayak, I had to be careful what size of footwear I had because I always had to use booties because trying to squeeze my toes into the front of the whitewater kayak was always very tight.
Yeah, no, there's enough room in here. There's enough room that I could. I have no problems with my Astrals.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it was something a little bit bigger,
yeah,
I wouldn't have any issue. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's ridiculous. And I think part of my problem, if my feet do start to get cold, is because if I'm kneeling or something like that in the canoe,
circulation gets cut off.
So, and it's already being cut mm-hmm. off because of the shoe, right? So I need to get a pair of different shoes or footwear, right? And gloves.
Yeah.
Like I know when I was going out with John Brower there, he's got ones that are water gets through and they're supposed to keep your hands warm still and all
but
that.
But neoprene, like a dive suit or something.
But I want my hands to stay dry and I want them to stay warm.
Yeah.
So the ones I had were nice and warm, but if they did start to get damp,
mm-hmm.
you know, by the end of like 4 or 5 hours of paddling and they were damp, you know, eventually your fingers do start to get a bit chilled.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Just no grip in the paddle, just because you're losing a little bit of circulation by grasping the paddle and stuff.
Yeah.
But
other than that, I don't think I would change anything else for what I've done this year.
So you got a good setup.
Yeah. I think it worked out really well. Really happy with the dry suit and everything. If anything, maybe I might change some of the stuff I wear under the dry suit, but
mm-hmm.
I wasn't cold at all at any points.
Yeah.
Right. So until, of course, you stop moving. And trying to get change in a parking lot
when the
wind's coming and it's minus 10.
That would suck.
You know? That really mm-hmm. sucks. Yeah. There's a couple of times where it's just like, you know what? It's, you mean when we're just going down the road, 5 minute drive?
Yeah.
Okay. Canoe's on, gear's packed. I'm going to put my dry suit on in the house and just drive. Well, not full on, but at least half, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So the top isn't on sort of deal. So you just quickly put that on sort of deal. But so I can get down there, get out of the truck, boop, 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 put that on.
Yeah.
And then when we're done, I can take it all off in the parking lot, throw it on, throw mm-hmm. a heavy jacket on or something, and I'm good. But it's just a pain in the arse trying to do that. Because you're trying to do it too fast.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're trying to do things too fast, things aren't going right, then you realize the suspenders that you were supposed to step through.
Oh!
You didn't. So now you got to take everything off again. But no, other than that, it was a great setup. Other than those 20 things.
Yeah.
No, boots and gloves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, those are the two extremities too, right?
Yeah.
You want to make sure they're comfortable and warm and dry and... Other than that, yeah, it was good.
Awesome.
We'll see if I continue. I know I'll be paddling in May, so that'll be 13 months.
There you go.
Probably be paddling in June, July, August, September, October.
So really, depends on the weather this
This so what happens winter. In November and December?
Yeah.
And then January, February, March, April. I might go 24 months.
Yeah.
Speaking of John Brower... John is one of our buddies there. He's been with me the last few months doing this. And I think he's sort of trying to do the same thing now.
Okay.
Trying to do 12 months. But he went and participated in the Float Your Fanny Down the Ganny.
Yes, I saw that.
I didn't realize. Like, I knew he was talking about doing it, but I didn't know that he actually went and did it. And apparently he came in third place. If you look at the results.
Yep.
He came in third place overall, and he came in first place in the solo kayak category.
Huh. What did he have just his normal kayak?
Yeah.
What was what did he say the water level was like?
He didn't.
Oh.
But. we were just talking about the fact that I've looked at the results there and, really? Because I know they changed it this year because some of the water level wasn't high and they were doing construction.
They were expecting low water. There were some rough spots.
And there was construction being done or something like that. So they had to stop at a bridge and couldn't go around. Or anyway, something like that. But so we had a good time doing that and it was good. If you are looking for a day trip, the Nonquan River
mm-hmm.
is a good one.
And that's when you just did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there is a spot that you can up by Scugog.
Yeah.
Lake Scugog, there is some boat ramps, so you can launch from there, paddle up the river to like the Beaver Dam or something,
yeah,
and then back. to the river. Yeah, it's, and of course you're going against the current going up.
Yeah.
At the start, and then you just ride the current back. Over so if you're looking years, for a nice family paddle.
Yeah. Well, over the years, I've heard a lot of people mention the Nanquan. Mm-hmm. At work, a lot of people go up with the Nanquan, and it's everybody's yep. mentioning it. Everybody, I've never been on it.
Yep.
I couldn't.
Yep.
I would need a map to find it, because I honestly don't even know how to get to it.
Well, you know what? You'd look at it, and you'd go, it's that close? Really? Oh, yeah. So, yeah, you launch. You do your, you know, few hours of paddling. You come back. You put your boat back on your... Yeah. Your car, and then you head over, have a sandwich and a brew, and then head on home.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if you're looking to do something, the canoe, the Nanquan, is on June 1st.
Yes, that's coming up.
Right? That's June 1st. They do this big thing. Race was started by the Lake Scugog Historical Society as a fundraiser for the Scugog Shores Museum Village in 1970.
Wow.
So this is like 54th year this year. Yeah, 54 years. So, yeah, if you want to do the canoe, the and there's people there, you know, John and I were talking about it while we were paddling there, and he says, yeah, there's people in their marathon canoes, and there's people in their kayaks that are just going full tilt.
Yeah.
They're there to win it.
Yeah.
But then him, Alan Drummond from Kingdom Outdoor, and his girlfriend, they did it last year.
Oh, okay.
And he says, we're just taking it like a day out. We weren't in a big hurry or anything like that. And they have shuttle buses, so I guess they...
Oh, okay.
You park somewhere, and then you start paddling. Then you get to the museum or wherever it is, and then they'll shuttle bus you back to your vehicle. Your vehicle,
yeah.
Yeah. So, cool. Works out well.
That's
cool. Scugog.ca, you go to the Parks and Rec tab, and then museums, and you can find all the information. Scugog.ca.
Yeah.
Canoe the Nanquan June 1st. You got to do it.
No, I don't.
No, I don't. I was Googling. You saw this one too. Pretty cool. San Francisco Giants play in Oracle Park. So behind the outfield, you know, there isn't the big old parking lot or anything like that where you park so you can go in and see the game. No, San Francisco Bay. So if you hit an out of the park homer, it's going into San Francisco Bay.
Yeah.
So there's a video that's been going around of Patrick Bailey of the Giants, the San Francisco Giants. He hit a home run on the weekend out of the park, right into somebody's kayak. That would be like a hole in one in golf. And I think maybe if that happens, they should get like an extra point. Counted as two runs.
Nailed them.
Two runs. And then the person whose boat it landed in gets like an assist on it. So they get a free ticket to the next game. And whoever hit the home run has to sign that ball. That's my idea. San Francisco Giants, give me a call.
Yeah.
But no, it's pretty cool. They show it just going up, up, up. Out of the park, and there's all these canoes and kayaks sitting out there, and boom, right into the front of the kayak. It's
like, got it.
Yeah. But people, that's what they do. They just hang out there.
Well, I've seen them do the home run derby there one year. I can't remember what year it was, but a lot of the balls were flying into the harbor, and like people were just like diving out of their boats to get the balls, and so
it's all fun.
Yeah.
All fun and game until someone gets one right in the melon.
Yeah.
Going back to what we were talking about, a lot of people out right now on the water. I know they're excited and everything to get out on the water. Water's still cold, and there's a lot of new people paddling, a lot of people eager to get out and not paying attention. I was Googling stuff and, you know, between work and the podcast here and just regular my own personal stuff and that. Scouring the internet this week for stuff, and anytime I was coming up against paddling-related things, the number of accidents and deaths that came up in my searches in the past week.
Yes, there's been a lot.
Phenomenal. It's like borderline ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
All around the world. I'm not talking just like, you know.
Yeah. Not just
it's
here.
It's like all around the world.
Yeah.
Kayakers, canoeists, there's no pattern to it. There's no particular area. People are going missing because they're you know, and people are just, they're just finding their capsized kayak. And now it's, you know, it's not a search and rescue. It's a recovery sort of thing. Yeah. Boats being found without paddles, boats capsizing, paddlers drowning. There's been paddlers being rescued, like first, you know, like all of a sudden this capsized, they can't get back in their boats. So a rescue are having to go out into the water to get them, which is fine if you're down south.
Yeah.
Up here, not so much because the hypothermia setting in, right?
Exactly, right? Yeah, if you're not prepared, you're not wearing the right gear.
Yep. People, again, like, there's got to be at least four of them that I know of in the last couple months heading out to sea and being rescued by ships.
Yeah.
There was a big Carnival cruise. I think it was Carnival cruise because that's the only.
Was it two or three guys on a.
On a raft.
Was it a. Was it a lifeboat or was it a... What was it?
Oh, there was a kayak recently because their boats sank, so they got the kayak.
Yeah,
but so that's a bit different. But yeah, people just being swept out to sea, can't get back in, lose sight of where land was. Next thing you know, they're going the wrong distance. Next time you know, there's a ship going, where are you guys going anyway? sort of deal. They're... Like, these are huge safety concerns in the world of recreational paddling right now. As far as I'm concerned, just like I say, just if you put canoeing or kayaking under news and put it for the last week, the amount of things that come up.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. Like I don't know what's going on. I put it down to people are uninformed, uneducated, too much of a rush to get out there, and they're just not paying attention, and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
And see, you know, sometimes it's just hard for people to learn a lesson, and it's unfortunate that they have to pay with their life for their mistake, right? It's very, very unfortunate. But it has been happening a fair amount in the last week. It's spring, right? People are trying to get out on the water, trying to do things. It doesn't matter where you are in the world.
Yep.
And so it's really unfortunate that people get themselves into a spot that they can't get out of. In some cases, most of the cases, people were rescued. But it's unfortunate when people lose their lives doing, you know, something like that.
Well, and that's it. You know, they're, you know, two people in a kayak, they capsize. Mm-hmm. They find the kayak, they rescue one of the people, and no one knows where the other one is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's, or, yeah, such and such went out paddling, and next thing you know, his kayak's washing ashore.
Yeah, adrift.
You know, like, what's going on? This is the beginning of the paddling season right now. And if this is what's happening now, I really hate to see what's going to happen when paddling season really takes off.
Hopefully, people will see this in the news and think to themselves, oh, I should be a little bit more careful.
But see, I never see any of this on regular news.
No, you have to find it. You have to search for it.
This is all like the printed news or the online news, you know, hey, here's our local newspaper and here's what we're covering.
Yeah.
Sort of deal. This isn't like CBC News or...
Do people really watch the news anymore on TV?
I don't know.
Unfortunately, a lot of people get their news just from social media, which I guess is a source.
But even Facebook now here, you can't do that.
Be careful what you watch for.
Yeah. Yeah, because you don't know what's real or not. Mm-hmm. But no, it's, you know what? It's, I think... like say recreational paddling, huge safety concerns.
Yes.
In my opinion right now, especially I'm all for people getting out there, but there's got to be some onus of education on parts of people knowing, like taking it upon themselves to learn what they need to know. There's enough people on social media that will lambaste you if you ask a question.
About, I know.
Oh, this has been asked 100 times before, but here's all the information again. You know, fine. Call me an idiot, but give me the information.
Yeah. Yep.
You know? There's also a ton of people that go, hey, you're new. Welcome to the canoeing community. Welcome to the paddling community, kayak, stand up paddle, whatever. Here's what you need to know. Was it you or somebody was telling me this week? I think it was John Brower was saying that somebody had posted a comment about, I just got a brand new sit on top kayak. I'm thinking about going down Toronto Harbor. What do I need to know?
Oh.
And a lot of people said, no, you don't want to be going down there right now.
Yeah, it's still too cold.
You don't have this. You don't have that. They asked the question.
Yeah. At least they asked. Yeah.
You know what? That's what you need to do. You got to ask these questions, right? And if you get into something, it's not like race car driving. I got myself a race car. I'm just going to go hop out on a track. You know,
like, go for it.
Yeah, it's becoming a bit alarming.
Yes.
Down in Andover, Massachusetts, first responders had to do a search this winter, which has led to new canoe and kayak rack regulations. Say still unknown where an empty kayak adrift in the Shaanxi River came from back in January. But according to the director of conservation, Bob Douglas, high waters had pulled a few kayaks and canoes off a rack near Abbott Bridge. Many on the rack were not secured, nor were supposed to be there in the first place.
Oh,
right. Fire department responded with a team with water rescue suits and had to treat the situation as a possible drowning. Kind of an unpleasant experience, Douglas says. That's when the town decided to codify their kayak rules in a new guidelines that Conservation Commission has approved. According to the new rules, all kayaks and canoes must be secured to the rack in order to stop them floating away. Canoes and kayaks must also not be placed on racks before April 1st, must be removed by November 1st. I wouldn't want to leave my canoe or kayak somewhere.
Out in the open, in the UV.
All winter.
All winter long.
Yeah, unattended.
Some people don't, I think they do care that, so much.
Do they do that down at the harbor front? Do people ask store
Alan.
Their boats
I
there?
Saw yeah. that. I saw Alan had
licking
posted
a kayak
recently.
Today.
Helen, within the last week or two, he had gone down and he had met up with somebody.
Yeah.
But he said, yeah, I was going down to check on the kayaks. So they must be on a rack down there.
Oh, they're definitely on racks down there. But I don't know if they were allowed to keep them over winter and had to take them out elsewhere.
Or where else you'd put them?
I got to think that they'd be locked.
If it's a club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, makes sense that they just cover them maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't keep mine there, so I don't even bother to think about those sort of things. Owners must also provide their name, email, and phone number corresponding with each tag for every boat on the rack. Coast Guard stickers with the name, address, phone of the canoe and kayak's owners must also be placed inside each vessel, which we've talked about before.
Yep.
The stickers will be mailed to users. They will also be available at each canoe rack site. Location of the racks must also be approved annually by the Conservation Commission. And canoe racks are on property overseen by the town's Conservation Department, but the program is run by the Recreation Department.
It makes, like, a lot of people go, oh, another rule. But you know what? It makes sense. Like, yeah. When you have to, the panic and the concern as you get, you know, the rescue teams out there to start searching for, presumably, like, you can't just assume that the canoe had or the kayak had just gone adrift. Yeah, for safety's sake, you have to assume that there's somebody out there that needs help.
Yeah. And well, and that's the thing is, if you got the sticker on the inside with a name and number,
they can reach out and say,
hey, call and say, hey, we found this. Is somebody missing?
Yeah.
No. My canoe should
since November.
Be, yeah, over there. And boom, all of a sudden it's done. Okay. Yeah, well,
we
found
shut
it.
Things down. Yeah.
Come and meet us wherever, pick up your boat and get it elsewhere.
Makes sense what they're doing. It does make sense.
Oh, sometimes this paddling stuff is, I don't know. Makes me shake my head some days.
Yeah.
So you brought this one to my attention.
This will be a fun one.
This is going to be a fun one. This one sort of is mixed opinions.
Yes.
From me. On one hand, cool what he's doing. On the other hand,
and we've seen there's so many people that do this kind of thing. And we see it. People cross the Atlantic. We see people cross the Pacific, going from San Francisco to Hawaii. And
right.
And so a lot of people do these trips. And this is actually, I think, this is the first time I've heard of. I'm sure somebody must have done it before, but it's the first time I've heard of somebody going from Hawaii to Australia.
To Australia.
That's a long route.
Tez Steinberg. He rode from Hawaii California to Hawaii.
Yeah. Did it say what year he went?
2020.
2020, did California to Hawaii.
So now he's doing Hawaii to Australia since mid-December.
Yeah, December 19th.
He's almost there. 125 days now.
And he's, by the looks of it, he's like within a day or two.
Oh, yeah. He can see Australia. They're just trying to figure out where to
land.
He's
been passing reefs and islands. Yeah.
He's been attempting to row 5,000 miles or 8,050 kilometers in 4 months. The website he uses is called United World Challenge.
And they describe a bunch of different trips on this United World Challenge. So there's, I saw at least three different people who were doing some variation of some sort of trip or travel. But
is
this
it different
guy,
people or is it just him?
There's three different guys, three different names listed on the website that I saw.
Okay, because the...
That are currently actively... One guy has just finished recently, one guy is mid-route, and this guy is mid-route.
Okay, the ones... I only saw him on there. But healthy oceans are fundamental to a prosperous and safe world. But the food of plastic into water... The flood of plastic into waters worldwide is threatening our oceans and our own future. If we don't act now, there will be more plastic than fish in our oceans by 2048. United World Challenge is here to help by raising funds and action to invest in the most promising solution to ocean plastic, creating low-cost river barriers in urban developing regions to catch plastic before it flows out to the sea. Our mission, accelerate solutions for the ocean plastic crisis and inspire a more courageous world. Our objectives, gather scientific data to advance marine research on microplastics and guide collective action, and develop and deploy open source curricula to teach high school students marine science and coding. Sounds pretty good.
It does. It does.
So trying to find out more exactly what he's doing on this whole trip, I came across another site that says, "Hi, I'm Tez Steinberg. I'm an ultra-endurance athlete currently rowing 5,000 miles alone from Hawaii to Australia, world record attempt to help solve the ocean plastic crisis. I'll spend roughly one-third of the year at sea to gather missing data to better understand how plastic is affecting our oceans while also raising funds for river barriers to stop plastic before it flows out to sea." Now, his last trip, he only raised like $75,000 on this big trip, California to Hawaii sort of thing. So if you go to the sites and you look into him and all of this other stuff,
yeah,
to me, the idea behind what he's trying to do is, I like it. He seems phony.
Oh, yeah.
Throws out big words. He just, I don't know. It's like he's trying to push it too much.
A little bit narcissistic.
A little bit over the top. Well, so he posted that thing, and there's a lot of different comments. One of them, okay, so you're spending close to $1 million to raise less than $100,000 by putting a big plastic boat, which in manufacturing results in hundreds of pounds of plastic waste, into the ocean to raise awareness of plastic in the ocean? he one of his responses was nowhere near $1 million.
Yeah.
Why not just use the money spent on the custom boat and travel expenses on ocean plastic collection methods? You said gather missing data to better understand how plastic is affecting our oceans, but how can you do that while focusing on an infinitesimally small line across one small fraction of an ocean? Pardon my bluntness, but after investing money into another startup that promised to actually clean up plastic from the ocean, turned out to be a money laundering scheme for new investment bankers, I'm kind of jaded on the concept. How are you different, and what is the end goal?
Did he answer it?
They made an answer,
yeah,
but he didn't answer the question.
Oh, okay.
Right? They're mostly raising awareness. This is somebody else now. They're mostly raising awareness of themselves, but narcissistic jackass tries to row 5,000 miles isn't enough. So they have the need to add a cause. They could easily just donate money and have it be more effective, but how would they get their 15 seconds of fame that way? So I'm like, okay, whatever. I'll go in, check what it is. And da, 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 da. And I, like I said, there's just something about it that just,
yeah,
you know, that second part was sort of along the lines of what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, you're going to, look, I'm going to do this, and I'm doing it for ocean stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're doing this little line across. How much data? Right? So
yeah.
I went to his site and he's got the blog thing where he checks in every day sort of deal. 125 days. I've gone through his blog and all that. I think I saw three mentions of plastic he's found.
Oh, okay.
In 125 days.
Ocean's a big place.
So, you know, like, and when you start watching the pictures and the videos on his blog, it looks like he's just having a great vacation. You know, so this whole thing that he's trying to do, this whole thing, comes across as false to me. So, you know, like he's putting his, and the sponsors he has.
Yeah.
Definitely he's got the money.
So when it comes to, when somebody wants us to do something big or grand, regardless of their motivations, for you to get eyes on something. Now, I'm looking at both sides of the coin here. So,
oh, yeah.
So when to look at it from doing something big and grand, like you're not going to get. So sure, let's say he said, "Oh, instead of spending all this money, I'm just going to give them $100,000," which would be good, and we need more people to do that. We need the billionaires to do that, start dropping money on these big projects to recover plastics from the ocean. But when it comes to bringing or shining a light on the issue of all the plastics in the ocean and making more people aware of it. There's a lot of people that have their head in the sand anyway, so they're never going to see this story. They're not going to be aware of this guy. But the people who do see it are going to see it because the sponsors are putting money in. They're either supplying gear, clothes, electronics, or whatever. I went to the sponsors page, and there was like a couple dozen sponsors.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's a lot of, and that brings a lot of eyes to the problem. And so looking on that side of the coin, yeah, it does bring and shine a light on a problem, and all the sponsors are backing it with their reputations and their money, and whether they are sponsoring by simply providing a life jacket or providing a paddle or providing a whole electronic suite, or somebody had to help pay to build the boat that he used. And so there's that side of it where it brings awareness. But I do agree that on the other side of the coin, there's a lot of people that he's like, "Hey, I want to do this thing. I'm going to get somebody else to pay for it." That's being the negative. That's being the troll online. That's the people who are being trolls online are going to be pushing that narrative. But you got to look at both sides of the coin. You got to say, "Listen, is this doing good?" I think overall it's doing good. It's bringing light to the issue. When we do, well, as humanity, have to stop pumping so much plastic into the oceans, if you could only get a certain percentage of people to stop, you know, hucking their water bottles over their shoulder into a lake or river, I think that would make a huge difference. But you know, it does bring light. It does shine a light on the issue at hand.
Let's just throw the devil's advocate in here for a second.
Okay.
So he could have taken all that money and done something grandiose, like in one spot, and made a big deal out of it. He's been out there for 125 days, and this is the first I've heard of him.
I know, and that surprised me too. And I'm trying to figure out how I came across this, because I just saw a note somewhere or a thing somewhere. I was like, what?
Yeah.
And so
that just puts in my mind, how much is this getting out there?
Yeah. And so we, theoretically, the two of us have our finger on the pulse of things. We do research every week for a new podcast, and we look into this stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. And how did I just come across this today?
Yeah.
So,
and I usually scour a lot of this stuff a lot better than you.
Yeah.
And I've not.
I know. So it's, I find it strange that even with his three dozen plus sponsors, and this is a big trip. I've never heard of somebody doing Hawaii to Australia before.
And my thing, you want to do that trip? I'm behind you, buddy. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, just like when we were with Cyril Deramo.
Yep.
When he went from California to Hawaii. Dude. And that's what he was doing. He was doing it because of the trip. He wanted to do this trip. Cool. But throwing the cause in there, like the one
it seems like it's just a little shallow. This guy, in the stuff that I've read so far, he hasn't really pushed the narrative of his trip yet. And so he's making it out to be plastics and ocean plastics, but he's not.
I guess he's not doing it properly.
Yes.
For such a bigwig that he's supposed
to be. It sounds a bit gimmicky.
It really does. Mm-hmm. And that's what sort of...
Good for him for being able to... This is a long, long trip. Like, this is four months.
Yeah.
And so he's been in isolation for a long time. And so that's got to be tough alone, right? Can you imagine how bad he smells? Eek.
No, he jumps in the water every so often. But no, you know what? Like, it's cool to see trips like this. I think if you're doing it for the plastics, there's a different
push
way to do that. You should have pushed the message in a big way. Like I said, using that money in a big way in another way.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing this just to be a trip because you want the world record,
say that.
Then say that.
Yes.
One or the other.
Yes.
You know, you're doing this for the world record, but along the way, I'm going to try to do...
Exactly. So he's made it out to be the main purpose and cause of his trip is to bring attention to ocean plastics, but that's not what he's doing.
No.
He's made it his title page, but he hasn't made it his mission.
Mm-hmm. He puts all this stuff on their website and stuff, but it just kind of... rings a bit too many big words and
did he not whatnot. Reach out to more news agencies about this trip?
I'm guessing not.
How have we not heard about this until the last
125 days?
He's on his
dude.
Last 2 to 3 days on the trip.
Like you say, there's in his latest ones, he says, I can see Australia.
Yeah.
You know, and we're just trying to figure out where is the best place for me to land.
Mm-hmm. He was supposed to go to Cairn, but he's going about 100 kilometers north of Cairn, 150 kilometers north of Cairn. I think it's just the way where he ended up, and it's the easiest way to paddle in the trade winds.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's like I don't want to poo-poo his trip, because he's done, it's quite the achievement.
Definitely.
It's just maybe he should have, you know, been a bit, maybe he had a different aim or thrust into his entire intentions.
Yeah.
Seems unusual. But anyways,
but it's pretty cool though.
Yeah,
5,000 miles.
That's a wicked trip.
Solo.
That's a massive distance.
Yeah.
Like, what is it? It's only so. This was 5,000 miles or 8,000 kilometers. But the San Francisco to Hawaii is like 3,000 miles or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, definitely less.
A lot less. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So now, basically, when he does this, he has paddled from California to Australia.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. With a 3-year break in between.
So I'm thinking the next stop is going to be Australia.
He's going to circle the world.
To Cuba. Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to slowly circle the world.
It's hard to have, like, I when I first saw it, I had a, oh, that's amazing. But then you start reading comments and stuff, and it starts jading your own opinion. And it's like, oh, I wish I hadn't read those comments now.
Well, because, you know what? Like,
there's too many trolls out
I'm
there.
I'm just
that's the
opposite. And see, I'm with that is like, you know what? You guys are just trolling. Like, come on, whatever. Yeah. Like,
leave him alone.
And then I started looking into the trip, and I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, his daily blog updates are kind
of a point there.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So I think a lot of people are starting to see the same thing that we're seeing is like, oh, wait a sec.
Everybody and their brother's trying to do these record attempts.
I know, there's too much lately.
You know, and like I said, I mean, more power to you.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, this one sort of just struck me as odd when all of a sudden, like the guy says, has to throw a cause into it.
I just had a funny thought pop into my head. So you think of Hillary and Norgay, the two guys to get up to Everest for the first time in 54, I want to say. A long time ago. Anyway, so they did it. They did it in woolens and this, that, the other thing, and hobnailed shoes. And so now when you see Everest and you see people climbing, it's like, well, you can only go so fast because you're in rush hour traffic because everybody's lined up. You see a row of 300 people. This is the day. It's the weather break. That's a sunshine, blue sky day. Everybody's going to try and do Everest this day. And so it's a 48-hour push and everybody's going to try and do it. And it's like, that's crazy. You know? If you translate that into what you see people tend to do is like you people get on these trends, right? And I think
there's a 7-mile line of boats.
Oh, like these open ocean trawlers and tankers are going, I've seen 150 kayakers today, and we're in the middle of nowhere. We're days away from landfall. And
what's going on?
What's going on?
A giant raft of them together.
So you got to wonder how far it's going to go. Like everybody wants to be the first to do something, or yeah. Or it's personal challenges. And like I remember with stuff like. But there's the Meanest Link. There's the one you did.
Brent Run.
And so it seems like the Meanest Link, there's so many people doing Meanest Link now.
Yeah.
Kind of kicked the meaning out of it, right?
Right.
And
that's why we did the Brent Run, because the Brent Run hadn't been done in over a decade.
Yeah.
And it came across in a recent, wants to do this? It hasn't been done in forever.
Yeah.
And like even the camp. On Canoe Lake wants nothing to do with it because insurance purposes.
Yeah,
Well, we did it anyway. Yeah. But now there's more people doing, not as many as the Meanest Link.
No.
You know, there's maybe one or two groups that
somebody
do.
Somebody did it on a stand-up paddle board. And
yeah. Oh, the Meanest Link. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the Brent Run, maybe two groups do it a year now. Yeah. But I mean, the Meanest Link, there's people who've done it four times and they've done it one way, then clockwise, counterclockwise, stand-up paddle board, done it nonstop with total support, no support, car rides, whatever.
Like, if I do it again, I'm just going to do it and take a couple weeks to do it and just take my time. And it kicks the meaning out of something when everything gets kind of washed out and overdone. It's that social media effect, right? It's like this phenomenon that everybody wants to do all these things. And people are going, hey, stop taking pictures out there because it's making like these droves of people. You get these hordes of zombies coming out to take pictures on something, and people are dying doing it. It's like, there's too many people with too little skill going out to do too grandiose of things. And again, I'm kind of sounding poo-poo and trolly, but it's too much. We're whitewashing, or we're washing out everything with the meaning is getting stretched so thin, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause what it used to mean.
Yeah.
The shine's taken off of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So.
Well, everybody does that.
Anyway, on to some happier stuff. We're sounding like a couple of old men now.
I know.
Get off my lawn! You didn't wave your fist.
No, I didn't.
Even though no one can see me waving my fist.
Nobody can see me if I'm waving my fist or not.
If I'm waving my fist and no one hears it, am I still waving my fist?
Exactly.
And raising one finger at those imaginary kids on my imaginary lawn. You kids! The 2024 Olympics are coming up in Paris soon. There's passports.
So, and for me, I don't do a lot of sports. I don't watch a lot of sports, and it's usually like a NHL playoff game they'll watch or whatever, right? But I always watch Olympics. I always find it exciting because it's not professionals; it's amateurs. They're doing their things, and they're challenging themselves against the planet. So I always watch these, and so I'm excited coming up to the Paris 2024 Olympics, which is July
26th to August 11th.
There we go.
If you want to find any information, go to Olympics.com.
There you go.
See all the sports at the Olympics this year.
And so it's kind of exciting to see the stuff that's coming up. There's a lot of water sports that in relation to us doing this podcast. There's like canoeing and kayaking.
So there's canoe slalom.
Yep.
There's the kayak single men's and women's, canoe single men's and women, the kayak cross men's and women's, which is full contact.
Which is on a whitewater course, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the kayak polo?
We talked about kayak polo.
That looks so dangerous.
Oh, it is dangerous. I'm signing you up.
It's like,
hey, that guy just got a kayak to the face. That's awesome.
They should put that in the Olympics.
Is that a kayak sticking out of your chest? Why, yes, it is.
I have flail chest. Yeah.
Things like that, the sports like that, you're wondering, what the? Were you like,
what?
There was I wanted to say it was for TSN, but I can't remember what it was. But there was something about bowling would be more fun.
Full contact bowling.
And you see this person, they're lining up and it's dead quiet. And he's lining up his shot. And here he is. He's going for it if he makes this shot. And just as he's about to roll, let go of the ball down, somebody, his opponent comes over and just tackles them into another lane, right? So there's also canoe sprint, kayak single 1,000 men's, canoe single 1,000 men's. I couldn't figure out why, except the only sort of hint was that there's not enough competition, why there isn't a women's 1,000-meter canoe and kayak mm-hmm. single.
Vancouverden, what was he? Was the 1,000 men's, right?
Vancouverden?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, there's no women's. So there's kayak double 500-meter men's and women, canoe double 500-meters men's and women's, canoe four 500-meter men's women's, canoe single 200-meter women's,
yeah.
kayak single 500-meter women's. So the men go up to 1,000, the women have 200 and 500.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah, I wonder about that.
Yeah. Rowing, which, I mean, you know, there's that controversy, rowing's not paddling. So
rowing.
You know, I will put aside the differences between canoers, kayakers, stand-up paddleboarders, and rafters.
I'm not going
to. But when it comes to rowing, I am putting my foot down there. But there is rowing. It's a rowing sport, a water sport. Pairs, men and women's, which the pair. So there's pairs and there's double sculls.
Yes.
The pairs, each person has one oar.
Yeah.
So, and then the double sculls, each person has the two.
Yes.
There's single sculls, fours, eights, both men's and women's. So there's double sculls, and then there's lightweight double sculls. So you're thinking, well, maybe the boat's lighter or something like that, right?
No, it's the people that are lighter.
The people can only be, the paddlers can only be.
Did they say?
So heavy. I think the women are 57 kilos, the men are 75.
What's that in pounds?
Something like that. I don't know. But apparently you and I would not be doing it.
No. What are you saying?
I'm saying you would be doing the lightweight double skull solo, and you'd be against me. And then there's the quadruple skulls, men's and women's. So those are all the paddle sports. The one I still can't believe. I don't know who was smoking what when they came up with breakdancing. How and in what?
So
what dimension is breakdancing a sport?
They're describing it as street dance. It's called breaking. And so this year is the first year that it's going to be in the Olympics. And I just, like, they do these experiments in the last 20 years. They've been trying to introduce a new thing, right?
So they've taken out karate, but they've added breakdancing.
Yeah. So is skateboarding still in?
Skateboarding's in, yeah.
That's just...
Skateboarding is closer to a sport than breakdancing.
It was like an 11-year-old that won gold last year at skateboarding?
Yeah, something like that.
13-year-old girl won.
Breaking.
Won gold.
Breaking. That's what happens to my arm when I fall down the stairs because I'm getting old. It had nothing to do with breakdancing. Yeah, I got an idea. Okay, here, hold my beer. Let's come up with some ideas.
Yeah, I don't see that as a sport.
No.
And I'm sure somebody's going to be all, oh, it is a sport. They're going to be all insulted, but yeah, go away.
Go away. You don't know what you're talking about. We're right. You're wrong at this point. You know who else is wrong? All those rowers. we kid.
Yeah.
So the Olympics, like I say, looking forward to it. Yeah, like I watch some hockey. I watch some baseball. I get really into hockey when it's the playoffs and my team is in it. Baseball I'll watch, especially if the Jays are going
doing
towards
well.
World Series and stuff.
Yeah.
Basketball, not really.
So just mentioning basketball, I don't watch basketball on TV because it's like, meh, whatever. But I went once in person.
Mm-hmm.
What a difference. Every time there's a commercial break for basketball, there's some sort of floor show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is entertaining.
But you know when you go to an NHL game,
yeah,
you are not to leave your seat unless there's a whistle. and then you can quickly get up and out of the way, right?
Yeah.
If you're coming back from getting a beer or the bathroom or something like and they're playing, they will hold you.
Same thing as baseball.
Right?
Yeah.
And then when there's a break in play, you can go to your seat. Yeah. Basketball, it's all free for all, willy nilly. Everybody's up and down all around.
Yeah.
You know, like,
no rules.
Yeah. Yeah. What the heck? Basketball. Get with the program. Yeah. We went once and, well, we've been a couple of times, but it's like the first time I was there, I'm just like, what the hell are these people doing? Sit down. The game's on. Why are you paying, especially in Toronto, any sport you're paying
big bucks. Yeah.
So why? I'm glued to my seat. I'm getting my money's worth out. I might take part of this seat home with me. You know? Like, oh, man. Anyway. But, yeah, the Olympics are one of the things that I tend to watch when they come on TV, right? So the Islanders, the Blue Jays, Arsenal, and the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it. I like the Winter Olympics more.
Yeah.
But so I tend to watch the Olympics, well, mostly because it's winter and you're stuck inside your house anyway. So Summer Olympics, I'm usually distracted off doing something, so I might miss a bunch of it. But I do try and watch them. I like this, like when you see somebody like Adam Vancouverden, when he was racing, it was exciting to see, because he was known to be a contender for the gold and so on. So it's
disappointing when, these Canadians are a favorite for the gold. What do you mean they came in seventh? It's like, oh, come on! I remember just to get off topic, but our TV died 1 year just before the Olympics.
Yeah.
So I went and bought one of the big flat screen TVs and brought it home, hooked it all up, the big high def, like the ones that you go into like the store and you see, wow, look at that. It's like you're right there. You know, in these nature state channels and that. Turned it on to curling. Wow, what a difference. It was good. It was really good.
Adam Vancouverden, he's currently an MP in Parliament.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Toronto area.
Yes. I can't.
Is it Toronto? Or Guelph Way?
I can't remember.
But, oh, yeah, yeah. He's been in, he retired from the sport, and now he's doing the political thing.
Yeah.
I think it's Guelph Way.
Yeah, I want to say that, too. I'm looking right now. He's Liberal Party. He's Oakville. No, he was born in Oakville, sorry. I'm trying to find details. But anyways,
yeah.
So he's now a politician.
Well, I guess what you do after the Olympics. So the Olympics, olympics.com to see all your sports. And they have schedules and days and everything about the sport, where it's being done and everything. So cool. Watch it, July 26th to August 11th. I'm
looking forward to it.
One last thing here, Dubai.
Yeah, the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, Dubai. Dubai seems to be hit the worst. But it's like you don't expect to see a desert city flooded.
Torrential rainfall. Flooding resulted from the United Arab Emirates' largest deluge on record, was so intense that satellites were still able to see it from space days after the clouds cleared and the last raindrops fell. Heavy rain gushed over a large portion of the United Arab Emirates from April 16th through April 17th. Dubai, the country's most populous city, recorded a year's worth of rain in just 12 hours. Areas farther east recorded 2 years' worth of rain in just under 24 hours.
That's incredible. And so the infrastructure, like here in North America, we are accustomed to and are aware of flood conditions. Like you see the big, in LA, the big, what do you call them, the drainage ditches.
Oh, yeah, those big flood channel
things they got. They're in all the movies.
Yeah.
And so here we design our infrastructure for lots of rain because we expect lots of rain. So we, once in a while, you'll see in the Toronto area, the Don Valley will flood when a really significant rain.
Yeah.
But I don't think people that live in the desert plan for rain.
They got totals of 4 to 8 inches were common.
Yeah.
A few locations recorded 10 inches.
Mm-hmm.
really doesn't seem so much. But when it all collects and flows into one spot,
yeah,
those fours and eights and tens in here, like, add up.
A brand new lake.
Floodwaters rose quickly were slow to recede as a result of the historic deluge, which was the most extreme event in the country since records began 75 years ago. Now, of course, there was the debate over climate change and cloud seeding, but reports saying the cloud seeding was definitely not the cause, because they do that over there,
it's nowhere close. It didn't help. Yeah. They did do cloud seeding, and
I think 2 days before or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they say, that had no effect on this much. Because if they did, then they're going to be doing it a lot more. people have been seen out in their boats paddling the streets of Dubai.
There's so many pictures of people in stand-up paddle boards and kayaks and whatever out in the streets of Dubai. Right?
Why wouldn't you? And you know why they're doing that? Because all those, like, $3 million cars they have are now $3 million submarines with wheels.
Yeah, exactly. I got myself onto some car enthusiast website and Instagram and whatever. And so I saw all these videos and pictures of Dubai streets of, like, supercars. Like, you know, you make fun of somebody who's like, dude, why are you driving through the water with your car? And so there's a aerial view from a helicopter of a $3 million Pagani going through floodwaters. Like, that's a $3 million car, dude. What are you thinking?
Well, it's not like I've got a Toyota. Little Volkswagen Rabbit take out on weekends.
So it's just, there's so many, all these high-rise buildings there with all the Richie Riches and in their
basement parking lots
flooded feet deep. And so it's all these, like, they're saying that they're looking at several billion dollars in cars alone that are going to be damaged, right?
Well, I mean, when you watch videos of Dubai and stuff like
everybody's got a supercar.
Everybody's got some sort of luxury vehicle. Right now, the insurance companies are just like, oh, no.
Well, there's going to be new rules coming out of this.
If you live in Dubai, forget it. Why did my insurance rates go up? Well, I don't know. I feel bad for them, but I don't.
Normally, I drive a $3 million Pagani, but today, I'm on a stand-up paddleboard.
Right? Hey, you got it.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's crazy.
Well, that's all I got this week.
At least it ended on a positive.
At least we ended on a positive note. Yeah, you know, we gotta go on rants every now and then.
Yeah,
and, you know. Started fun, ended fun.
Yeah,
it's like a crap sandwich with fun on both ends. You got anything else?
I don't.
Excellent. Well, if you want to find out more about us, you can find us at paddlingadventuresradio.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can download or stream our episodes on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Or you can just go to the episode page at paddlingadventuresradio.com, and you can stream or download all our episodes there. Don't forget to go to YouTube if you're a YouTube aficionado, because we've been putting our episodes up there as well.
No video, unfortunately, just audio.
Yeah, but you can listen to it while you got the YouTuber going. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with your friends, family, and fellow paddlers. I want to thank everybody for listening this week. I'm Sean Rowley.
I'm Derek Specht. We'll see you next time.